Are you ready? Welcome to Radio Grognard King Size, the OSR podcast with more stuff, with your host, Glenn Hallstrom.
Hi, and folks, old man Grognard here. Hope you're all doing well. It's a nice day. He did it. Well, how do you know?
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Find out in a minute. Okay. Being a stage actor for, you know, on my one of my hobbies, and being a gamer and a film buff has exposed me to a lot of rules about how stories are put together. And being a GM really helps with that. And there's a couple of concepts in drama, in telling stories, that are applicable to role-playing games. And there's a couple of concepts I wanted to discuss today that may help the new GM, the burgeoning GM, the newbie, and maybe some of the veteran ones. But mostly this is leaning towards the people who are just getting into the hobby and things like that. But most of my stuff is. So we will talk about that. Now, the first concept is Chekhov's gun. And that is the philosophy of, in drama, if you have something that you point might happen in a drama, it better happen by the end of the drama. In other words, if you show a gun, this is the example, if you show a gun at the beginning of your story, it better be fired by the end of the story. In other words, it's there for a reason. You put things there for a reason. Okay, fine. Well, that relates to role-playing, like when you're coming up with an adventure or prepping or doing a module or whatever, you look at it and go, okay, what are the things we're dealing with here? What are the concepts we're dealing with? What do we got? Let's say it's rescue the prince scenario from an evil. Oh, let's just make him an evil fighter, a mercenary fighter, a very powerful mercenary fighter. And you've got. You know, how are you going to do it? You're going to figure out how to do it. But if you introduce something like the reason the mercenary fighter could kidnap him so easily is because he has this very powerful dimensional amulet that he can just make it to put him, you know, kind of like a put a dimension in, and he could walk through like a dimension door and grab him and go back and get out. Okay, fine. You mention that in the story. When the players do the research, or the player characters do the research, or they get the info from the king, his father, the king, or whatever, he mentions he has this artifact that does, you know, this thing, and that's all they know. I mean, later on you can flesh it out saying, oh, it does more than that. I mean, makes them real powerful and blah, 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 blah. But the point is, this is it. Well, it better be shown being used by the end of the story. Okay, fine. No problem. You got a really good MacGuffin right there. Because I'm sure that king would want that. So what do you have? You have the player characters, say four player characters. You have the king. You have the prince. You have the evil mercenary. You have the evil mercenary's troops. Now, this is important later. The troops are important, okay? Because I'm getting to a point here. And so these are your players. These are the people in your drama. Okay, fine. Now, what is the problem with this? Here's the problem with this. The problem with this is there is another concept that I don't quite remember the title of it. It's I think it has to do with its economics of character or something like that. The point is that in drama, in any kind of storytelling, say a movie or a TV show or stuff, they will only focus on the characters that matter. And so you can't have a cast of, well, you can have a cast of thousands, but they, you know, you focus on the ones that are important to the plot. Like I said, the player characters, the king, the prince, the mercenary guy, and the troops. Okay, fine. You don't go focusing on the baker down the street for some reason because he has nothing to do with the story. Okay, fine. The problem with that is it could be really easy for the audience to figure out what's going on, and if it's a mystery, who done it? Best example, and they do this very cleverly too. The best example I can give is the movie The Hunt for Red October. Now, the main thing is, okay, Ramius is trying to defect to the U.S. and bring the Red October submarine with him. Okay, fine, that's the whole crux of the plot. But there is a fly in the works. There is one person who is still loyal to Mother Russia, who is trying to stop him and things like that. You don't know who it is, okay? And this comes in later in the story, and it turns out it's the cook. I mean, he got rid of all the rest of the crew. He faked that the submarine was going to, you know, he's going to blow the submarine up, and they were all except the cook hid. And you don't find this out until later on in the story. And Jack Ryan has to go confront him and find him. And to most people that watched it for the first time, this is going to be, well, where did this guy come from? Well, we never seen him around here before. Yes, you did. Actually, you did. Because at the very beginning of the story, when Ramius is talking with his CO and the guy who's, you know, the guy who's working for the Russian government, he has to end up killing because he doesn't want him to find out, blah, 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 blah. They take the body away, and for a split second, they hang just a little longer on this one guy because the kitchen is right across the way. And they just for a split second, they hang on this one guy, and that's the cook. But nobody knows that because they cut away so quickly. And in the end, when Ryan is confronting him in the movie, you hardly see him. You see the back of his head. You see him in the distance. You don't get to see a good look at him. They even do a real close-up where he's holding these two wires getting ready to blow up the ship. And all you see is like a Sergio Leone type tight into his face. So you really can't. And they go out of focus and they focus in on the hands. You can really tell who he is. So once again, they show you that it's economics of character. And they did that on purpose so people would go, oh, he's the guy. He's the guy who's going to do this. Okay? And I thought that was very clever because most dramas have that problem. So in role-playing, see, I told you, I didn't tell you, but I'm going to circle back on role-playing. In your game, you have economics of character, too. You come up with, say, three NPCs that are important. And, you know, like I said, you got player characters, king, prince, mercenary, and his troops. So what I will suggest is a little something I call Chekhov plus 10%, which means add 10% more NPCs. So that would mean to me is like if you got all these guys, add one more NPC and make him just don't build him up. What I mean by that is you can make him not be meaningful, just like a a lackey. And the mercenaries' troops, remember I said I'd get back to the mercenaries' troops? They can be part of them. You know, you can take a foot soldier or another mercenary who he's working with who doesn't really trust the main guy, who thinks he's, you know, he comes up with these plans that he doesn't think are very good and he could usurp him, blah, 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 blah. But you don't build on it. You just like, he says, Smith, take care of this. And Smith just gives him a look and walks away. Now, if the player characters are smart, they will say, oh, what's this guy look like? I'll say, Smith, take care of this one thing. And I said, Smith gives him a look and he goes, what do you mean gives him a look? Can I make a perception roll or some other roll or whatever? I mean, you could give it to him. And he says, yeah, he looks kind of resentful, you know? And that's kind of the equivalent of the cook. And so you have this nice dynamic go on. So try Chekhov plus 10%. It wouldn't hurt. And it comes in really handy. That way you can give somebody, you can give them a heads up. And if they don't catch it afterwards, you can go, well, it was this, didn't you see the guy? Yeah, it was this guy right here. Yeah, you find, Smith, what's he doing here? It's like, you weren't paying attention, were you? I mean, this is not to make the players look like idiots. It's not for them. It's not a way for the GM to make the players feel foolish or, you know, for not play. I don't like that. I don't like when GMs do that. You know, if you'd been paying attention, but it's blatant. If it's like they're just not paying attention to the game, that's one thing. But if they're really trying, you don't do that to them. But you can point that out. But anyway, check out plus 10%. Try it out. Anyway, I got to go start my day. So if you guys want to talk to me about this or anything else, oldmangrognard@gmail.com or drop a voicemail on Spotify for podcasters. We are monetized. So as little as 99 cents a month, you too can support this program. And I would thank you. And for single donations, my Ko-fi page, ko-fi.com, or my PayPal tip jar, paypal.me/oldmangrognard. Let me thank these people who do give to me monthly. Juan Carlos Llewellyn, Gilbert Sars, and Benjamin Brodel, thank you very much. For other good podcasts, Dan Gregg's got one called the Jung, Y-U-N-G, Jung Grognard Podcast. Kevin at the Red Caps Podcast has one. Daniel Norton does a fine one at the Bandits Keep Podcast. Randy, of course, Randy and Joe's Biggest Geekest Podcast. Big John Allen Large is the Red Dice Diaries. And my friend Eric Tinkar's Tavern Chat. So, until I see you folks next time, keep the dice warm and I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
You got questions? You got comments? Send them to oldmangrognard@gmail.com. Tune in next time when Radio Grognard King Size is on the air.